We're continuing chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And if you remember, Bellatrix and Narcissa were talking to Snape. So Snape turned to Narcissa. "Now, you came to ask me for help, Narcissa." Narcissa looked up at him, her face eloquent with despair. "Yes, Severus, I think you're the only one who can help me. I have nowhere else to turn. Lucius is in jail, and..." She closed her eyes, and two dark tears seeped from beneath her eyelids. "The Dark Lord has forbidden me to speak of it," Narcissa continued, her eyes still cold. "He wishes none to know of the plan. It is very secret, but..."
"If he has forbidden it, you ought not to speak," said Snape at once. "The Dark Lord's word is law."
Narcissa gasped as though he had doused her with cold water. Bellatrix looked satisfied for the first time since she had entered the house. "There," she said triumphantly to her sister. "Even Snape says so. You were told not to talk, so hold your silence." But Snape had gotten to his feet and strode to the small window, peered through the curtains of the deserted street, and then closed them again with a jerk. He turned toward to face Narcissa, frowning. "It happens that I know of the plan," he said in a low voice. "I am one of the few the Dark Lord has told. Nevertheless, had I not been in on the secret, Narcissa, you would have been guilty of great treachery to the Dark Lord." "I thought you must know about it," said Narcissa, breathing more freely. "He trusts you so, Severus."
"You know about the plan?" said Bellatrix, her fleeting expression of satisfaction replaced by a look of outrage.
"You know?"
"Certainly," said Snape.
"But what help do you require, Narcissa? If you are imagining I can persuade the Dark Lord to change his mind, I'm afraid there is no hope, none at all."
"Severus," she whispered, tears sliding down her pale cheeks.
"My son, my only son."
"Draco should be proud," said Bellatrix indifferently. "The Dark Lord is granting him a great honor, and I will say this for Draco. He isn't shrinking away from his duty. He seems glad of a chance to prove himself, excited at the prospect."
Narcissa began to cry in earnest, gazing beseechingly all the while at Snape. "That's because he is 16. He has no idea what lies in store. Why, Severus? Why, my son? It is too dangerous. This is vengeance for Lucius's mistake. I know it."
Snape said nothing. He looked away from the sight of her tears, as though they were indecent, but he could not pretend not to hear her.
"That's why he's chosen Draco, isn't it?" she persisted. "To punish Lucius."
"If Draco succeeds," said Snape, still looking away from her, "he will be honored above all others."
"But he won't succeed," sobbed Narcissa. "How can he when the Dark Lord himself..."
Bellatrix gasped. Narcissa seemed to lose her nerve.
"I only meant that nobody has yet succeeded. Severus, please, you have always been Draco's favorite teacher. You are Lucius's old friend, I beg you. You are the Dark Lord's favorite. You are his most trusted advisor. Will you speak to him, persuade him?"
"The Dark Lord will not be persuaded, and I am not stupid enough to attempt it," said Snape flatly. "I cannot pretend the Dark Lord is not angry with Lucius. Lucius was supposed to be in charge. He got himself captured, along with how many others, and failed to retrieve the prophecy into the bargain. Yes, the Dark Lord is angry, Narcissa, very angry indeed."
"Then I am right. He has chosen Draco in revenge," choked Narcissa.
"He does not mean him to succeed. He wants him to be killed trying." When Snape said nothing, Narcissa seemed to lose what little self-restraint she still possessed. Standing up, she staggered to Snape, seized the front of her robes. Her face close to his, her tears falling on his chest, she gasped.
"You could do this. You could do it instead of Draco, Severus. You would succeed, of course you would, and he would reward you beyond all of us."
Snape caught hold of her wrists and removed her clutching hands. Looking down her tear-stained face, he said slowly, "He intends me to do it in the end, I think. But he is determined that Draco should try first. You see, in the unlikely event,
Draco succeeds, I shall be able to remain at Hogwarts a little longer, fulfilling my role as a spy. In other words, it doesn't matter to him if Draco is killed. The Dark Lord is very angry, repeated Snape quietly. He failed to hear the prophecy. You know as well as I do, Narcissa, that he does not forgive easily. She crumpled, falling at his feet, sobbing and moaning on the floor. My son, my only son. You should be proud, said Bellatrix ruthlessly. If I had sons, I would be glad to give them up at the service of the Dark Lord. Narcissa gave a little scream of despair and clutched at her long blonde hair. Snape stooped, seized her by the arms, lifted her up, and steered her back onto the sofa. Then he poured her more wine and forced the glass into her hand. Narcissa, that's enough. Drink this. Listen to me. She quieted a little, swapping wine down herself, and she took a shaky sip. It might be possible for me to help Draco. She sat up, her face paper white, her eyes huge. Severus, oh Severus, you would help him? Would you look after him, see that he comes to no harm? I can try. She flung away her glass. It skidded across the table as she slid off the sofa into a kneeling position at Snape's feet, seized his hand in both of hers, and pressed her lips to it. And if you are there to protect him, Severus, will you swear it? Will you make the unbreakable vow? The unbreakable vow. Snape's expression was blank, unreadable. Bellatrix, however, let out a cackle of triumphant laughter. Aren't you listening, Narcissa? Oh, he'll try, I'm sure. The usual empty words, the usual slithering out of action. Oh, on the Dark Lord's orders, of course. And Snape did not look at Bellatrix. His black eyes were fixed upon Narcissa's tear-filled blue ones, as she continued to clutch his hand. Certainly, Narcissa, I shall make the unbreakable vow, he said quietly. Perhaps your sister will consent to be our bonder. Bellatrix's mouth fell open. Snape lowered himself so that he was kneeling opposite Narcissa. Beneath Bellatrix's astonished gaze, they grasped right hands. You will need your wand, Bellatrix, said Snape coldly. She drew it, still looking astonished. And you will need to move a little closer, he said. She stepped forward so that she stood over them and placed the tip of her wand over the linked hands. Narcissa spoke. Will you, Severus, watch over my son Draco as he attempts to fulfill the Dark Lord's wishes?
I will, said Snape.
A thin tongue of brilliant flame issued from the wand and wound its way around their hands in a red-hot wire. And will you, to the best of your ability, protect him from harm?
I will, said Snape.
A second tongue of flame shot from the wand and interlinked with the first, making a fine, glowing chain. And should it prove necessary, if it seems Draco will fail, whispered Narcissa. Snape's hand twitched within hers, but he did not draw away. Will you carry out the deed that the Dark Lord has ordered Draco to perform? There was a moment's silence. Bellatrix watched, her wand upon their clasped hands, her eyes wide. I will, said Snape. Bellatrix's astounded face glowed red in the blaze of a third tongue of flame, which shot from the wand, twisted with the others, and bound itself thickly around their clasped hands, like a rope, like a fiery snake. And that's the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3, which we'll read next, is called Will and Won't. I hope you like that, my beautiful kitten. It's bedtime for a kitten and pup. Sleep well. Good night.